Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm Kara Rota, and I'm here today with Jim Batsakos, the founding chef of Molivos and author of the new Greek cuisine cookbook. He's also the founder of a new Greek cuisine line of cold-pressed olive oil. Jim is here today to share some suggestions for making three Greek-influenced dishes that are perfect for summertime. Thanks for being here, Jim.
Thanks for having me.
So when I think about Greek food, I think about two things, feta cheese and phyllo dough. Let's start with a phyllo. So I think the biggest fears that people have when they're working with phyllo dough are that it will either tear or dry out. So how do we keep those things from happening?
Well, I think most importantly, you know, starting with the selection of the phyllo, normally you'll find it in the frozen food section of a supermarket. The best way to go about defrosting it would be to keep it in the refrigerator overnight. It defrosts at a slow pace. This will avoid any type of sticking issues that you may have. In regards to the drying out part of the phyllo, you know, when you're ready to work with the phyllo, the best thing to do is open up the package, lay it out on a clean, either a cookie sheet or what we refer to as a half sheet pan, and line that with wax paper or parchment paper. Open up the phyllo and lay it out, and then place a piece of parchment paper on top with a damp towel. This is going to stop the phyllo from drying out. Now, when you're ready to work with it, it's very simple. You just roll that parchment paper back with the towel, take out your piece of phyllo, lay it down on the clean work surface and brush it either with olive oil or clarified butter, depending upon whether you're going to do a sweet or a savory.
Got it. And is phyllo dough sort of one size fits all, or are there different types to buy for different uses?
There are definitely different types. And I just want to say, if you're lucky enough to be in an ethnic area where you can get fresh phyllo, obviously that's always your best option, or if you can make your own, you could run it through a pasta machine and try to do it really thin for yourself. But yes, there are definitely different thicknesses. Four being the thinnest, almost like a strudel kind of dough to itself, a little bit harder to work with, works really great with sweets. I actually use it for bugatza. It has a nice, very flaky crust. Seven, a little bit easier to work with, great for sweets and savories, perfect for baklava. Or if you're doing a spinach pie that's in a pan that you would score and make into triangles, the filling, you would want to make that with layers, okay? And then the easiest to work with, and I think sort of the most versatile, is the number 10, which is sometimes referred to as country phyllo. That's the thickest you can get. I would say to you, really resembles the texture of a fresh phyllo. Great for an individual, this is what I use it for, individual spanakopita, the spinach pie, real easy to work with, and then just a great all-around product.
So on four, you mentioned a thing, and I didn't know what it was.
The bugatza.
Yeah, what is that?
Bugatza is a semolina custard. Think of like you would make a soft polenta, only instead of a cornmeal, you would use semolina grain,
okay.
And you make it sweet, almost like you would make a farina. And then you would whip in some eggs and vanilla and orange zest, sugar, of course. And then you create this custard. And if you're making the traditional one, what you would do is you would take a cake pan and you would do layers of phyllo, brush with clarified butter, sprinkle with cinnamon and sugar in each layer. Sounds delicious, right?
Does.
And then you put in the custard and you close it up and you bake it. And then when it comes out, you douse it really heavily with powdered sugar and cinnamon and you let it cool slightly and then you would cut into it, and that would be your semolina custard pie. When I make it in an individual serving. So when you get the bugatza in front of you, each one is cooked individual for you in its own little phyllo package.
Well, maybe next time you will bring me one. That sounds delicious.
Absolutely.
So let's move on to feta cheese. What are some of your favorite go-to summer dishes using feta?
Well, I want to say, in feta cheese, I mean, if you're not having it on its own, which is phenomenal on its own, right? I mean, a nice big piece of feta cheese drizzled liberally with some extra virgin olive oil. Perhaps new Greek cuisine extra virgin olive oil would be a great fit for that. Top with a little Greek oregano, very traditional, you know, some crusty bread, put it on top of a Greek salad. Or we can opt for one of my favorite summertime items would be a crustless pie or pita, as the Greeks would call it. Fairly simple to make. If you could imagine, it's a mixture of eggs, yogurt, creamy feta, a really heavy dose of chopped dill and mint, spring onions sliced very, very thin, some spinach, a little wild greens, a little bit of baking powder just to give a leavening quality to it, and bound ever so lightly with a little bit of flour. And just fold all these ingredients together to make sort of like a batter, if you will. You take a spring pan and you just coat that with a nonstick spray, put the batter inside, and that will make it easier to remove from the mold after you finish cooking it. Place it in a slow oven, and when it comes out, it's going to have that resemble of consistency of reminiscent of a quiche. You take it out, cool it down slightly, because you don't want to cut it when it's too hot. And you can cut a wedge out of it. You could also make these individual if you like. And then what I love to do is serve it, especially now, this time of the year, with a nice small baby mixed green salad with a little bit of arugula inside, some fresh lemon juice squeezed, lemon juice on it, New Greek Cuisine extra virgin olive oil. The olive oil has a nice peppery bite to it and green olive. And then the creaminess from the feta and the yogurt just work great to, sort of mellow out those tannins that are on the olive oil.
And when you do the Greek yogurt, are you buying it or are we supposed to be making it ourselves?
No, we're definitely buying it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, some things, it's nice to experiment with that, but I think that there's so many great products out there now. So I would opt for a store-bought Greek yogurt, preferably an imported.
And how about grilling? Are there certain Greek-influenced foods that you like to make outside on the grill during the summer?
Well, I probably would say my, go-to, if it's not going to be a lamb chop or, a souvlaki, my go-to is, and my favorite, is a grilled or roasted lemon garlic chicken. For me, I try to keep it simple. I always have those staples that are in my pantry. But now, if you happen to be in a suburb or you have like a little, maybe you have a flower or herb garden, near the window or something like that. Addition to this would be oregano or fresh rosemary would be great additions, When you select the chicken, I always opt for a whole chicken. It's usually priced a little bit better. Also, you can check the quality a little bit easier. No blemishes to the skin, no tears in the skin. And you always want to look for a long lead expiration date, which is usually on the package. This is going to denote freshness. I mean, when it's at all possible, I would suggest to try to go to your local butcher, get a free-range chicken or an all-natural chicken. It's going to cost a little bit more, but I think that you're definitely going to taste the difference in the chicken because there's a difference in the feed. They're feeding on corn, a little soy, a little grain, so there's a little bit difference in the overall flavor of the chicken. When it comes to the preparation, the first way that you would like to start this dish would be take the chicken and then place it onto the cutting board breast side down. The easiest way to cut or butterfly the chicken is to use a kitchen shear. You can use a knife. It's a little bit more. I would opt for the kitchen shear, especially for some of the viewers. It's a little bit simple. I do it a lot as well. So you take the kitchen shear or your kitchen scissor, run along the backbone of the chicken from the bottom all the way to the neck, push down on the bones, which now will expose the interior of the breast cavity, okay? If you can imagine that. So now the chicken's just laying down flat on the cutting board. Then we season it liberally with some, squeeze of lemon juice. I use these simple herbs like we were talking about, granulated garlic, oregano, dry Greek oregano, salt and pepper, because there are staples in my pantry. Feel free to add that rosemary, oregano, fresh garlic if you like. And again, I hit it with the New Greek Cuisine, extra virgin olive oil on top. Rub the whole thing, massage it. You got to make it lovely, right? It has to be. That's where you're feeling the love, right? So from there, we're going to get ready to cook that on a grill if we're doing it outside, because the recipe could also be adapted to indoors, as we were talking about before. So if you were using a gas grill, preheat your grill. And then when you're ready to cook, shut off the two center burners. When you're dealing with a gas grill, normally you have the lower level grill, and in the back you have that upper level grill where nobody knows what to do with it.
Right.
Sometimes you put a buns on it or the hot dogs, right? Elevate the chicken bone side down on that grill, away from the direct flame, okay? So you're not going to get, as the chicken cooks, as everybody knows, is going to give off that juice, and the juice is what burnt goes down into the fire and gives you the flare-up. Mm-hmm. And the flare-up then impars a different flavor on the chicken. We want to avoid that. So we go away from the direct flame, and then we would close the lid. If we were going to deal with a charcoal grill, because I know we have a few purists out there that will never say, I'm never going to use that propane grill, right? So for the gas grill, you want to let the charcoal go down to that light ash stage where it's kind of glowing, yeah, and it's not no longer black. You move all the charcoal over to the side, and again, bone side down on the grill away from the direct heat. And again, in the same fashion, put the lid on and cover the chicken. Now, in doing so, you're creating this convection-like or roasting atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Most of these grills come with that little thermometer. You can regulate it. We're looking for about a 400-degree ambient temperature inside the grill itself. Now, in creating this cooking environment, you don't have to turn the chicken, because you have like sort of like this convection, right, nice and encased cooking atmosphere, let's call it, for lack of a better term. And then what you get is crispy, nice char on the bone, which impars that beautiful roasted flavor. And you get that GB&D, right? Golden brown and delicious skin. And it's a phenomenal thing. I mean, and you try it this way, it's definitely going to be your go-to for the summertime.
Well, I'm taking over because I feel like most of the time at a barbecue, people do the chicken pieces separately and they're burnt on the outside, right, and they're raw on the inside and nobody's eating it. So I'm going to do it from now on.
And this is a no-brainer because you just cover it and sort of you just check periodically.
Right.
Now, you can, as we mentioned, do this in the broiler. If you'd like to do it indoors, and this is, again, a great thing that you could do sort of year-round, if it was raining outside or something, sure, on the upper third, you set the rack on the upper third part of your oven underneath the broiler setting. You take the chicken, you season it in the same fashion, but now you have to start with it bone side up to the direct heat, because the bone side of the chicken can take most of the cooking and is a little more resilient to the char of the broiler. So you put it inside the oven. Always add a little bit of water. The water is going to do two things in the pan. And use a heavy gauge pan, not one of the flimsy cookie sheets, because that's going to burn underneath the heat. So either use a roasting pan or a heavy gauge, what we refer to as a half sheet pan, which is about the same size as a cookie sheet. A little bit of water will stop the flare up and also create this beautiful, delicious sauce from the rendering of the fat of the chicken and the olive oil and the herbs and the lemon. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. So from there, we char the bones for about a half an hour. So this is going to cook the chicken about 3/4 of the way. And then we turn it over, and we're going to, again, just about 15 minutes. 15 minutes is going to give you that nice crackling, crispy, blistering skin. And you're good to go. Take it out, let it rest a little bit, because just as any chicken or meat or anything that you're cooking, when it comes out of the oven, the juices are flowing. You don't want to cut into it right away. You want to let it rest so that the juices maintain and stay in the bird in this case. Let it rest and then cut it, and you're eating good, I'll tell you right now.
Perfect. So we have our phyllo dough, we have our feta cheese, and we have our chicken that we can do inside or outside. I think we're ready.
Let's go cook.
Thank you so much for being here, Jim, and sharing your new Greek cuisine tips and recipes with us. Join us next time on The Clever Cookster for more quick and dirty tips from the world's best cooks.